The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing since 1996. Your local coastal brewery. Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Hi, Daily Ticker time here on a Thursday. Brought to you on the fan, as always, by Pelican Brewing. Now offering their newest signature Pelican West Coast IPA on a shelf near you. Raise your glass and drink on Pelican Brewing. Born at the beach.
Talk about a guy who needs a Pelican at 8 a.m.
He could use one. Florida State fan could use one. Blazer Freeman on Twitter at Joe Freeman for the Oregonian covering the Ducks and the Beavs. Do we need to change the handle? Like, when do we become Blazer Duck and Beaver Freeman? We need all of this into the handle now.
I don't know. You guys come up, set a poll, come up with something for me.
Okay, yeah, we can do that.
Depressed Freeman because of the Knowles. I don't know. There's any number of routes we could go, I guess.
Sorry to bring up tough times, and we don't need to talk too much about your Knowles. Let's get to the Beavers, who I know you're switching up beats a little bit, but you've been around the Beavs all year. It's been weird kind of following them of what were the expectations. The schedule's easier, but they were decimated by losses in the portal and the staff, the majority of it leaving. I know that you're again covering Oregon this week. What were the vibes like the last time you were around Oregon State, and how has the mood maybe changed at all as you've seen the season go on for a four and four team who's desperately looking for a win this weekend?
It's been interesting to see it kind of ebb and flow, but I will say, you know, I've asked that question of many players and many coaches throughout the season. And they've been pretty consistent. Like, there's a little bit of a fighter mentality there, a little bit of an underdog, you know, us against the world kind of a feel. And they say that they remain engaged, and they haven't seen anybody, you know, back off in practice or behind the scenes. And one thing that I have been impressed about throughout the year is, you know, oftentimes when things kind of start to go south a bit, or you get a skid, you start to see finger pointing, or you kind of start to see guys kind of get in their shells a bit. And what I have seen and the stories that I've heard is that everybody takes ownership. You know, after a loss, you've got Skylar Thomas in Reno after postgame saying, "This was my fault." And then talking to Joshua Gray later in the week after that game, he said, you know, Javonnie McCoy came in the locker room and said, "That's on me. That was my fault." And Joshua Gray's response to him was, "No, that was our fault as the offensive line." And you kind of go on down the line, and player to player, everybody kind of puts it on their own shoulders. And, you know, I don't think if I was a Beavers fan, I would like the direction things are headed. And, you know, a relatively promising season has kind of spiraled downward, but you have to like that the players are taking ownership. They're not pointing fingers and kind of looking in the mirror. So from that standpoint, that's a positive. But, you know, on the field, it's definitely not a lot been positive here the last month.
Yeah, Freeman, I think it's a massive game personally for their bowl eligibility chances. They got Boise looming on the road. They've got the Cougs coming in who look like a pretty good team. I think they could beat Air Force. So it's a big game for them. You were down there a while, and I know you're in Eugene, but just the general senses, getting to know some of the people down there. You've been covering the baseball program for a while now. What is it? How do you think the athletic department reacts to a non-bowl season year one out of the old school Pac-12?
That's a good question. I hadn't really thought about that. I guess here's the deal. Trent Bray set expectations at a certain level. I mean, I sat in his office in January shortly after he had been hired and kind of, you know, put his finger on the to hold up a leaky dam and rallied the troops and, you know, bolstered the roster with transfer, kind of got his team engaged and his staff in place. And he said that he believed his sales pitch to recruits, to guys to stay, was that he felt, based upon the relative ease of the schedule and the talent they had, that they could make a legitimate push for a college football playoff berth. Now, I think most people rolled their eyes at that, but that was what he stated as a potential expectation, what he kind of sold the team on again. And instead, where we've seen that develop, it wasn't so crazy after all. It's just that it happened a few hours north, you know, in Pullman, where Washington State is kind of a fringe team like that. And so the method and path is there, but back, it just didn't happen in Corvallis. And so, you know, back to your question, I think not making a bowl would certainly be a severe disappointment, mostly because of those expectations and also because they started out 4-1. I mean, they had a really nice start to the year. They pitched their first road shutout in, I can't remember off the top of my head how long it was, at San Diego State. You know, they got rolled by Oregon, but they kind of held their own for a half in that. You know, beat Purdue, beat Colorado State, and then just kind of the wheels fell off. And I personally think with the talents the team has and, you know, with the schedule they had, anything less than a bowl game would be disappointing, and that would be something the athletic department would have to grapple with. I will say, and not to make excuses, and they have said it's no excuse, they have been just absolutely decimated by injuries, especially on defense, where they've missed, you know, a handful of starters in some games. You know, they've missed multiple players in the secondary, including Jaden Robinson, who's, you know, been around for 500 years there. They missed their best, you know, pressure-forcing defensive lineman in Thomas Collins for the last 2 or 3 weeks, who had a concussion and has missed time. And so, you know, with where they're at as a program, with all the guys they lost, a lot of veteran guys, especially up front, but with all the guys they lost, with the guys they brought in, and just, you know, trying to rebuild that program outside the Power Five, I think it just draws a different kind of player and athlete. Depth was one thing that was never a strength for them, in my opinion. And so, you know, losing as many guys as they have, it's been debilitating for them.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Joe Freeman is our guest, at Blazer Freeman on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Senior writer for the Oregonian covering the Ducks and the Beavers. And you've parachuted from Corvallis into Eugene. I'm watching the press conference yesterday, and I'm like, hey, that's Joe Freeman. I recognize that voice asking Dan Lanning a question. what, you know, as you're kind of, look, you're number one team in the country. They're undefeated. Here comes Joe Freeman a little bit later in the year. What's been the biggest takeaway, I guess, kind of being around them? And they're going into a game against Maryland that should be an easy win this weekend, although college football can surprise us from time to time. What's been your biggest takeaway from watching from afar and now being on the beat in Eugene this week?
Yeah, full disclosure, I just moved over, you know, mostly this week. So I'm only now working into the fray. Just went to my first availability yesterday. But I mean, what they've done, you know, this year has been overwhelmingly impressive. I mean, that's not a news flash to anyone, but as just a general college football fan, I think you're seeing the Ducks. The way that college football right now is constructed, they are perfectly suited to capitalize on it. You know, you've got these blue blood programs like mine that are just reeling, you know, going from 13-0 to just an absolute nightmare. And you're seeing other blue blood. I mean, Alabama's struggling a little bit, you know, up and down, not as to that degree, but it's a perfect time for kind of a, and it's not like the Ducks haven't done plenty of national damage over the years, but from a consistent basis, they're more of a new blood, not a blue blood. And certainly the way you can use NIL and Uncle Phil's money right now is just immensely important. And just the allure of everything that they bring from, you know, an advertising standpoint and just, you know, kind of what it does for the flashiness for recruits, that combined with the money, the style of play they have and everything they bring, I just think that they're perfectly suited to take advantage right now. And we are seeing their emergence on the next level. When it's the first time in program history, they're a unanimous number one. I think that speaks for itself. There's a reason that Dan Lanning didn't want that Alabama job. And I don't know, I assume he was legitimately seriously up for consideration there. He's got everything he needs here. And we're seeing that in their recruiting rankings. We're seeing that in their performance on the field. They haven't really been tested that much since Boise State. The first two games were a little sluggish. I guess first two games and a half against Oregon State. But since then, you know, Ohio State obviously was down to the wire as it should be. But they just look dominant. I won't say invincible, but they've established themselves as one of the, you know, nation's premier programs.
To get away from college football a little bit with you, random question, but this week we had Joel Embiid suspended for 3 games because a columnist wrote something. He ended up taking it out of the story, but he wrote something about Joel's family crossing a line, and reportedly he pushed the reporter. You covered the Blazers a long time, and I don't recall you bringing up somebody's family in an article, but the most pissed an NBA player has ever been with Joe Freeman that has confronted him is who and when?
Oh, man, there's been so many times, guys. You know, I didn't cover the Jailblazers era, so I was never just charged in a locker room like our good friend Jason Quick was back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, man, I've had some guys mad at me.
Give
probably
us
off the top of my head, I would say Andre Miller, who I grew to absolutely adore. Just a very unusual, quirky, shy, incredibly introverted guy who just played his you-know-what off and really endeared himself to Blazers fans by the time he was out of here. But when he arrived, it was a very rocky kind of, you know, introduction to the team. You know, he had barely said much to Brandon Roy, who at the time was the alpha dog. They had kind of brought Andre in to fortify the point guard position. B-Roy was a big Steve Blake guy at the time. And so there was not friction, but there was just kind of B-Roy was kind of flexing his alpha doggedness then. And I think just Andre's personality, because he was so shy and so off-putting, and, you know, he was notorious for barely doing anything in the off-season, showing up overweight, you know, and just working himself into shape. And that was not really how the Blazers do things. And so I think that kind of rubbed guys the wrong way. But, you know, I kind of wrote the story about how it had been a rocky introduction and the guys didn't really get to know him. He had barely said anything to B-Roy. They didn't really have a relationship and so on and so forth. And it did not go over well with Dre. And he, you know, we had a little private conversation and, you know, he's like, I was kind of like, well, was there anything inaccurate in the story, Dre? And he was like, no. What are you complaining about, my man? He's like, well, it's like a job interview. This is like a first impression. And you know, basically screwed me over. Not in so many words, but so he was pretty pissed. But it didn't last long. And, once you got to know, Dre, I think there was, someone in the management told me that they do these tests on all the players. And one of the, it's like a personality test they did on him. And he was off the charts introverted on the scale. Like they had never seen anybody more introverted. And as we all know, people who are, I mean, I can talk to anybody about anything and pretty much do anything. I'm the opposite, you know, but I my wife is very shy. And so I can relate to that now. But, you know, it comes off as being rude or kind of, you know, mean, and it's just a personality thing. So it was a matter of getting that. But I would say Andre Miller is, and it wasn't like he didn't throw bows or anything, you know, it didn't come to that, but he was pretty, it got heated there for a while. There's more, but that's probably off the top of my head.
Well, I would assume that you would say, maybe I'm wrong here, that if you got into a confrontation, Andre Miller might kick your ass. And if not, you think you hold your own, that's fine. He's not the biggest dude in the world. Was there ever one with a big that made you a little nervous internally? Like, this guy's 6'8", and I am not 6'8". So is there ever, like, a bigger person than Andre Miller?
Gerald Wallace wasn't a big fan.
That's a scary dude.
Whoop your ass, Joe Freeman.
Well, first of all, Andre Miller would whoop my ass. Yeah. Let's all be real here. I'm walking in that locker room, any of those dudes, they're world-class athletes. They're all destroying me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, I am an old man now, and even though I was younger then, I still would have been an idol. Steve Blake is insane, and he switches that gear. I mean, he punched someone. Did he punch Kobe? Did Kobe get punched out?
No, he punched Juan Dixon. Him and Juan Dixon got into like a fight.
Right. I think him and Kobe got into it once too in L.A. Man. But anyway, point is, all those dudes would whoop my ass, no question. But Gerald Wallace, he had a touch of the crazy. He was huge. Not a big fan of mine. There was one playoff group interview where I think it was it against Dallas? Man, I'm old and I can't remember. I think it was against Dallas. And I think the Jet had come out and said, well, we're obviously the underdog. The Blazers are way better. And I kind of was asking Wallace about that. And I asked him and he said, I don't want to talk about that. Next question. And was real pissed about it. And so naturally, I asked him again. And he immediately walked away. I think the interview session lasted 37 seconds. Yeah. And I just kind of looked around like, well, that's Gerald Wallace. So I'd probably say him. He'd be at the top of the list. But any of them would destroy me. Let's be clear, guys.
Yeah, Gerald Wallace would scare the hell out of me,
country
man.
Country strong,
no
man.
Doubt
Big
about
dude,
that.
But country strong.
Joe Freeman, go give him a follow on Twitter at Blazer Freeman. We'll see if we can come up with a new handle for him. He's covering the Beavs, covering the Ducks, all over college football now.
Do everything Freeman is a poll.
He does
option.
Everything Freeman, and we love chatting with him.
Slash.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Flash.
Yeah, you're the slash man. Yeah. Thanks, Joe. Let's catch up again soon.
All right, good talking to y'all. We'll talk to you later. Take care.